The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How's it? Welcome for another episode of Ruthless Aggression. I'm Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris. These boys did an episode a couple days ago, so it's not much current day to talk about, which is good, because that means we're just speeding through 2006, catching back up, getting through the month of September, barreling towards Unforgiven 06 in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. But there was some happenings in AEW this week. They held their Grand Slam event for Dynamite and Rampage over at the Arthur Ashe spot in Queens. I didn't watch the entirety of it, but I did see the main event, Mox versus Bryan Danielson. Solid. I'm not going to sit here and say great match, but it was solid.
Yeah, it was good. It was weird because, you know, they kind of teased like the whole, oh,
we might have lost Rob.
Well, MJF might just cash in with the poker chip, but then felt the need to keep showing him.
Yeah, anyway. That was really weird.
Oh, why did
they
feel the need to keep showing MJF with the poker chip?
Yeah. It was like.
I think it's also weird just because of the golden ticket thing 2 days later.
Well, no, that's it's different, but I mean.
But it's not. And that's what I was telling you before. I don't like that because it's two people who now have a future title shot.
Yeah, but
it muddies the water.
There's the second person.
Hangman won the Battle Royale.
And that makes it worse.
Last night to
they had a Casino Royale Battle Royal.
They had a golden ticket Battle Royal where the winner received a future title opportunity.
First off, this is way too many fucking Battle Royals. You got the Casino Battle Royal at every pay-per-view. What the fuck is a golden ticket Battle Royal? Secondly, you don't need to have contenders picked and chosen through Battle Royals all the fucking time. Like, get new ideas, Tony.
No, I mean,
I see your conundrum. Because why the fuck are there two challengers?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because I mean, they're gonna load up the. They're going against NXT in a few weeks. Because basically,
I mean, that's fair. But you also
show up, and that's when Hangman.
So they're doing
Mox.
A Tuesday show instead of Wednesday.
Yeah.
You also don't. I don't think you have to immediately muddy the water for that, though. You can determine that the next week.
It just it seems very pointless. Like a lot of things going on
there. Yeah, I agree. I mean,
just do it in the water with a fan favorite like Hangman.
Yeah.
But also, we knew that the Battle Royal was happening. We didn't know who was going to win, but that just sort of made it worse in hindsight. But
I was going to say at the same time, like, you talk about Hangman, we talk about Hangman and where he's at. Hangman don't need to be in a world title picture. Hangman needs to be in a big time series feud. That's away from a championship. He hasn't held the title since May. Mm-hmm. What has he done since then?
Not much, really.
He was hanging around with Dark Order.
Yeah, I mean, he was around.
He's back to doing what he was doing beforehand.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's a problem.
He needs, like you said, he needs a feud that's a bit magnetic that can get him over again and that can make him back into a credible contender down the road. But he doesn't need to lose another title match.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because he already did that. He lost the Double or Nothing. He lost the Fatal 4-Way, obviously, at Forbidden Door, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was pinned.
No, I don't think he
was. Same difference.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Dynamite overall was not bad. Like, Chris Jericho being Ring of Honor champion is very funny.
I mean, it's funny. Like,
he doesn't really fit, like, what Ring of Honor is. But Ring of Honor doesn't technically exist right now. So,
it
like,
doesn't. And, like, within the history of AEW, there was always those dudes who went against a Ring of Honor. So, like,
yeah.
I get it. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, be all upset about it. I get it. The Acclaimed or tag team champions, and that's just something I'll never get. So, hey. Pac versus Orange Cassidy. How was that? I'm mad I missed
boring,
that.
Kind of boring. The crowd really was not engaged or into it. I don't necessarily blame them. The All-Atlantic title is not exactly something that's put over. So it's kind of, even if it's two people who people generally enjoy watching wrestle, it's not really a lot to get behind or get into.
I was going to say, like, what's your hierarchy for AEW titles? Obviously, the world championship is at the top.
Yeah.
You got three other belts there. Actually, four other belts there. You got the two
ROH. It feels like belts. The tag titles are number two. And then it feels like everything else is a mishmash.
I wasn't even going to include tag and women's. I was just thinking of men's singles.
Oh,
like, because you have five belts, technically.
Yeah.
Main roster, the two secondary AEW titles, and then the two ROH titles.
Yeah.
I would probably put the All-Atlantic last. It just came.
We might be going in and out
3 months ago, and there hasn't really been that much heat around it at all.
Yeah, that Ring of Honor Pure Rules title has been one that they've actually like a main event to Dynamite a couple weeks ago when Daniel Garcia won it in Buffalo. So that might be number two, honestly. And then I guess the TNT title, even though it's fallen off a bit, and then the Ring of Honor world title.
Yeah.
I guess, which, you know, Claudio had good defenses with it and stuff. That might be a little higher, but then, you know, Joe still got the Ring of Honor TV title, but I don't know that he has defended it in a while. Yeah. I know he had to do his show or whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Dynamite wasn't bad. You know, they have Saraya now, so that'll be cool. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully she's
rough.
I always liked her. I hope she's still good and can still go. I know she's, but you know, weird online. I don't, probably not.
She's not even cleared.
No, we don't know. She said you gotta watch a show on Wednesday.
Shut up. Why? So you're telling me that the people that they invite to their fucking scrums are suddenly not trustworthy? Give me a break.
I feel like
that doesn't make any sense.
I feel like that Paige saying that, we know what that means.
Yeah,
Paige is going to fuck you around continuously on whether or not she can wrestle, and she probably can't.
I mean, that whole sequence was just so lousy,
and for differing reasons.
Yeah,
I've seen the reason for the Jamie Hayter shit, and that's 100 because they're dragging this along with Jamie Hayter.
I understand that, you know, they're kind of doing that with Garcia and Bryan anyway, so you don't want to do it twice. And I also understand that people have been like, oh, well, they said they weren't going to do it. Okay, if you're not going to do it, why are you wasting anyone's time by teasing it then? Because you waste everybody's time. You get everybody excited. Everyone was getting behind Jamie, and now no one cares anymore because she's already siding with Britt again. And now that's two times that they've had the opportunity to do that, and all that happens is the interim champion just keeps getting fucking punked out. It's stupid.
Who is even?
It's generally stupid.
It's Tony.
Yeah, it's Tony.
That's right.
Yeah, the person who got a fluke win and then immediately got beaten up because apparently Britt can't ever just lose a match.
Yeah,
it's so dumb. Like all they honestly have to do at this point, if they're that insistent on that, is just give it to Britt. No one's gonna care.
Yeah.
Stop making your champion look terrible.
Really?
Because now everyone's talking about Saraya and still not talking about your champion who got chummy with the person she was literally fighting with, and Saraya anyway afterwards. So it's like, what are we doing here?
And for me, it's this. You're a women's title pitcher. I'm just going off of who I can count in that ring. If I miss anyone, please speak up. You have Toni Storm, now Saraya. Athena's been hanging around there. Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter. Who else is kind of
Serena Deeb?
Serena Deeb, for lack of a better word, Ruby. all those girls are just seemingly, that's like 8, 9, all seemingly tied in, into this world title picture. Meanwhile, can you unequivocally say that any of those women are the most popular woman in AEW?
No.
Can you say that with conviction?
It's probably still Britt.
It's probably still Britt, yeah.
I don't know. I do not know. I can't say that Britt is the most popular female superstar in AEW with conviction. And that's my problem. It's because you stick Jade on TBS every fucking Friday night.
That's true.
Knowing you have a superstar that's building and that is there, but you keep jumbling up, muddying up the fucking waters with, quite frankly, women I don't want to see. Tony's good. I'm kind of good on Tony. Saraya, if she ain't for the wrestle, I don't want to see her. We've gone on about Britt over and over again. Jamie Hayter is the one. If you aren't going to do a goddamn thing with Jamie Hayter, the other women in that group that I just named, I don't want to see. But the one I do want to see is what? Bigging up a winning streak that ain't nobody probably watching because it's at 10 o'clock Eastern on Friday nights.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, she had a good match with Diamante on Rampage, but it was short. It only got like 3 minutes, which I'm not like one of those stopwatch people, but you know, you gotta give Jade some time. People want to watch her wrestle, you know?
Well, the other thing is, you know, maybe she's still, you know, got time to go to get to where she needs to be, where she can work longer matches, but she's never going to get that if she doesn't get the reps with the people that she needs to be working with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other issue really is just that for them, they continue, and even with Saraya, because she hasn't wrestled in 4 years and she was getting lapped as it is then, and everything has still changed now. So you're asking a lot from her, but I don't think that there's still anybody over there with an iron sharpens iron mentality. No one's ever going to get better because there's no one who can really kind of dig that out of them over there, it seems like.
Yeah. No.
But that also comes with the territory that they're not ever going to get anywhere by just getting one segment a night.
Right.
That's
and
true.
Then putting all the women in that one
segment. Yeah, exactly. And then doing, and then putting all the women in that one segment,
or,
too. It's very... Guys,
or they go on Dark and they have their matches on Dark, the little squash solo matches on Dark. Yeah.
And then everyone wonders, like, oh, why aren't these people getting better? Why are these people regressing? Because they don't work with anybody who can help them get better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what happens when you have something like their division where they haven't put enough investment in. It's not just about time. It's not just about segments. It's not just about, you know, how many minutes they get, how many the stopwatches and whatnot. No, you need actual investment. You need a plan. You need vision. You need people in there who are committed to making it happen at every level. That's why WWE succeeds. They have a bunch of people who are not only invested in it, but they have a bunch of people who are willing to do whatever.
And they're consistently getting the reps. You know, that's what AEW is not giving to a lot of those
sacrifices. Shit, it's just like getting worse.
Okay, do me one favor, just because I know you guys are listening. I'm not editing this shit to that point. Do me a favor, y'all, to get your connection together. I'm gonna ramble on real quick. Thank you. I'm gonna ramble on real quick about this issue. Because I do think like that is a massive, that's creating the massive gap between AEW and WWE. Truthfully, the money's there for WWE to do it, not for AEW. Completely get it. WWE has the infrastructure to have a performance center. So once these women get up to the main roster, they're good. There's not much to worry about there. AEW is a lot harder. Because you're relying on Dark and Elevation and the one or two segments a week that they get to grow and be better. And they're not going to be able to do it on the indies because they're signed to exclusive deals. Most of them are. And you're not able to make a Jade Cargill better in the way that Bianca Belair has been able to get the reps and be better because she's not able to get the reps. And she's doing these things in 3-minute matches. It's not the first time. The one I went to in Philly was a very short match. Mm-hmm. You got talented girls in that locker room. Layla Gray, Julia Hart. You got some girls that if you invest in them, they will get better. But they're not going to get better the way that AEW is presenting them now. And I know it's a problem we've been harping on for a few years. And at times it feels like it's been starting to get better. But we just wind back down to square one.
Yeah.
With the women's division.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, I thought Rampage overall was a pretty solid show. You know, Sting, I like the Sting matches. He always brings it. He had a great mood to show up. That was pretty cool. Action Bronson can actually wrestle, which was nice.
Action Bronson had the look of a pro wrestler.
He can do it, man. He kept it simple. He just did, you know, shoulder tackles and whatever and like a one power slam. But like he can do it. And it's cool. Like, you know, we talk about this every time there's a celebrity now where they all just really go all in on it and actually try hard. And it's really cool to see.
It really is, man. And, you know, you have people that actually fit, not Logan Paul. It's cool. It really is. I don't know how much I cared about Fabulous. And I've never seen Who-Man. I don't think I've ever seen his face before. Or Who-Kid. I don't think I've ever seen DJ Who-Kid's face before. So that was funny. Trina was a funny get.
Yeah.
I just wonder if Ice Spice was a little bit too busy. Really quickly, we got an extra match thrown, or actually two matches thrown. I guess it would be an extra match one because the Extreme Rules match between Liv and Ronda was already set.
Yeah.
I liked Liv going through the table last night. That was
That was a really effective segment. I think if there's any disconnect here, we can stop the Mysterio and 06 comparisons right now.
Yeah.
Because Mysterio never did that.
Yeah, no, I thought, you know, she was selling for Lacey quite a bit. And I'm like, well, you know, that's not great. But I guess, you know, it is what it is. And then, but by the end of the match, yeah. And then once she jumped off the fucking thing through the table.
The post. Yeah.
It was cool.
Like, not just the turnbuckle, the post.
Yeah. That was really cool. You know, I think they're going to have a really solid Extreme Rules match.
They are.
It seems like every match.
Okay, we're still having issues.
Maybe. It depends on, well, because stipulation, which could put a lot of things in the air.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess if they end up doing Bayley and Bianca, that could main event. But
yeah. Well, what do you mean? You guess if they end up doing it? It's been announced.
Well, no, it hasn't.
Yeah, it's officially been announced now.
Bayley said she wanted to fight her, but they didn't announce it.
No, well, whatever. It's just a matter of time.
It's unformally.
I mean, why would they not do it? Let's be honest here.
We'll see. I mean, you know.
We'll see what? They're not going to not have the hottest act on the fucking pay-per-view.
Well, no.
What are you even putting that in doubt for?
Well, wait and see till it's announced. But yeah, that could be the main event or, you know.
We can pretty much assume Rondo, that it's going to be announced. It might main event, it might not.
It'll be interesting.
The new addition to the card is the strap match.
Yeah, the strap match
between Drew and Karrion Kross. What are your thoughts about a strap match between the two of them?
I mean, it probably won't be very good. You know,
why wouldn't it be very good?
Oh, because Kross is bad. But the strap match.
I mean, Drew is good. He's probably going to carry him.
The
problem
with the strap match is, you know, you're limited by the fact that you're tied together. You know, there's stuff you can do with that. You know, you pull on it, and there's cool spots you can do with that. But your range is limited. So,
but also, like when you are a big beefy man in the strap match, you're going to be bumping a lot of meat. So,
yeah,
I think we're going to get what we are coming for.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's gonna be a violent match.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, it'll be interesting because I don't think either one should really lose either. Like, if Drew loses again, then I don't know, man.
Kross can lose. Why can't Kross lose?
You know, it's his first big match, really. I mean,
he doesn't lose that match. I don't think.
I think there's a way they can get around it.
I think there's a way you can get around a fuck finish so Drew doesn't look bad. I
mean, that's true. There,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's going to be an interesting match to. I'm going to try to be in the building. It's going to be an interesting match to watch live. And then, of course, you got the fight pit. How are they going to do the fight pit?
See, I think in thinking about it, I think that for that particular strap match, I don't know if they're going to do it, but I think they'd be wise to adopt the old rules, as in you have to touch the four corners because then no one has to be pinned.
Yeah.
They should probably just adopt that.
That'd be a good way to do it.
That I think is the way to do it, especially considering that Drew is just coming off of a title loss. And like you guys said, this is Kross's first big match. So you might as well put in a situation where neither is going to be affected by a loss.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to do that, touch corners.
I'll be honest with you. I had no idea that rule changed.
Yeah, it was weird because I remember thinking that Bryan and The Fiend was going to be like that when they did that in 2020 at the Rumble, because I think that was the first strap match in a really long time.
Yeah.
But it never ended up happening that way.
No. And I like that. That's a good way to do it. So
it is.
Maybe they'll go back to that.
They should.
Be good.
In this case, in this particular case, they should. They can do whatever they want after. But in this match, to book it that way to protect both, do it that way.
Yeah.
That day was such a blur. Holy shit, I don't remember that match happening.
Yeah. I don't remember a thing about it because I was too stressed out by Bailey Lacey, so I just went and ate chicken tenders on the concourse.
That's why you were stressed out, sir.
Yes.
Not everything else that was to be stressed out on that day, because holy fucking
shit.
Yeah,
that was a day, man.
That was some kind of day, yeah.
That was a wild day. Real quick, NXT Halloween Havoc is going to happen next month. A little bit under a month from now. We know Braun is going to defend the NXT Championship against Ilya Dragunov and JD McDonagh, the former Jordan Devlin, that weird-ass head. Solo Sikoa had to vacate the NXT North American Championship, for whatever reason. That's such a new thing. Oh, it wasn't a sanctioned match. Whatever. So Carmelo will get an opportunity to win the title back in a ladder match at that event. He's already been joined. Wow. Three of the five are already brothers. Wesley absolutely should be in it. And then Oro Mensa.
Mm-hmm. The former Oliver Carter. Yeah. Mm.
So who else is going to be in that match? There's two spots left.
I don't remember what the other qualifiers were, but I know they're happening soon.
I wish I knew. I wish they would say what the fucking qualifiers were. They haven't. I just see Grayson Waller lost.
I don't know if they have the other ones yet because I know it's still taped again this week.
Well, so yeah, it is. But let me see. They didn't have anybody. Doesn't seem like they had anybody qualify unless it wasn't listed.
Yeah, so I think they're gonna just
two episodes, right?
Yeah, because they did two episodes. What I'm intrigued about is that they have just a match between Gacy and Grimes. I don't know if it's gonna be for a qualifying spot or if it wasn't, because it only mentions Oro Mensa and Grayson Waller. It doesn't mention the fact that it was a qualifying match.
I don't think they're
gonna put they might add
in the ladder match. That would be.
I mean, I could see anything happening. I mean, who knows? I don't think so either, but. I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, they have what?
They still have plenty of time. Yeah. My God.
Exactly.
They don't have to rush into this. I think my only issue is just that I liked Sikoa winning the North American title, not just because I thought it was a cool way to thread everything together, but because I thought it would make Melo come up off the title and do something else. Unfortunately, being involved in the North American title match at Halloween Havoc means that he's not out of that picture yet.
Yeah.
And I think he should be.
Yeah, I would agree. But.
Yeah. Let's go back to 2006, shall we?
Yes.
Yes, we have.
Also, holy shit, CJ McCollum got paid.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. 2 years, $64 million extension. Good
lord. Yeah. Yes, we only have 1 week this week because it ends with Unforgiven and I didn't want to overload it. So we'll get back to 2 weeks next week because it's just TVs and we'll be all caught up. But yeah, for now, top five songs. We have When You're Gonna Give It Up to Me is down to five, Buttons up to four, Crazy is up to three, and then London Bridge and Sexy Back stay at 2 and 1. Movies debuting at number five is The Protector, which I do not remember.
I don't remember that either.
Number four is Crank. Number three is Invincible. Debuting at number two is Hollywood Land, which I remember but did not see. And
did I see Hollywood Land? I remember wanting to see Hollywood Land.
It always sounded pretty interesting. I just never watched it.
Yeah. Also, I'm not seeing The Protector from 2006. So I'm not sure that movie ever really existed.
By Dragon Dynasty was a distributor, so I don't know if it was a foreign film that got.
Yeah, it's called Tom Yong-gun. It is Korean, I want to say.
Okay.
Thailand. Distributed in Thailand. So Thai.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I guess they just, dubbed it for America, and it was number five.
Yes.
The Protector.
Then debuting at number one is The Covenant.
Don't think I saw the Covenant.
Also, September 10th, 2006, week one of the National Football League got underway, featuring the Chicago Bears, proving to 1-0 on the year, 26-0 shutout at Lambeau Field. Devin Hester, punt return, his first career game. Robbie Gould had four field goals.
Bernard Berrien had Bernard a 49-yard touchdown reception, apparently.
And really just put Brett Favre in the dirt. I mean, not for good like they did later, a couple years later.
Right.
But, you know.
The one saving grace I have as a Chicago Bears fan is that we put that man in the fucking dirt. I also believe this is the last. Oh, no. They beat Favre in 07.
Yes.
Beat Favre at home in 07. So this is the second to last win against Favre as a Packer. And like the one thing I can like be thankful for is that, yeah, you got the shit kicked out of you by Brett Favre most of his career. But towards the tail end of it, you were able to get his number.
Yeah.
And I can at least say that, you know, it wasn't a sweet ending for him in Green Bay. And we made sure that his ending wasn't sweet.
Yes.
So enjoy prison, fucker.
Yeah. So if I may take over, just go over some other week one scores. The Falcons started off the year with a 20-6 victory over Carolina. New Orleans beat Cleveland 19-14. Arizona beat San Francisco 34-27. Seattle beat Detroit 9-6.
Oh, God.
That's a Matt very Hasselbeck ugly game. Matt
Hasselbeck versus...
John Kitna.
Yeah, John Kitna.
Real quick, you said Atlanta beat who?
Atlanta beat Carolina,
and Vic is still starting at this point.
Yes, that's correct.
This is the last year he's starting Atlanta.
Right? Yes, correct.
Right? And he struggled a lot.
Yes, he did. Philadelphia beat Houston 24-10 to start the year. So the Eagles are 1-0. They got, let's see, they got touchdown passes to Dante Stallworth, Reggie Brown, and Brian Westbrook. Not a surprising group there.
Dante Stallworth being on the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't remember him being on the Eagles either, but apparently he was. Go figure. Jacksonville beat Dallas 24-17 to start the year, so Cowboys lost on the road in Jacksonville to start the season.
They hadn't made the switch to Tony yet, right?
Not yet. Season. Yeah, Drew Bledsoe started the year as quarterback. Yeah. The Jags basically it was tied 10-10 going into the half. And then the Jags scored two fourth quarter touchdowns. Byron Leftwich and Fred Taylor had rushing touchdowns to move it to 24-10. Cowboys couldn't delete lead, couldn't get it done.
What he does best, and that's getting dubs over the Cowboys.
Yes. Buffalo beat New England, or I'm sorry, they lost to New England 19-17. My glasses are a little smudged. My bad.
Wait, was JP Losman the starting quarterback?
Yes, we
let off a JP Losman reference last night on 2 Minute Drill. That was hilarious.
Yeah, the Bills got out to a 17-7 lead, in fact, but they coughed it up. They had a 17-7 lead at the half. Anthony Thomas had a rushing touchdown.
Anthony Thomas is still in the league at this point?
Yes.
Buffalo?
He is. Yes.
Oh my God.
Last year, right?
Probably. London Fletcher also had a fumble return for a touchdown, but again, Kevin Falk scored a touchdown. Steven Gostkowski kicked a field goal, and then they got the safety. So
yeah, well, Buffalo turned it around now.
More than made up for it at this point. Let's see. The Colts beat – oh, yeah, that's right. That was the Sunday night game. The Colts beat the Giants.
Oh, yeah. It's
the Manning Bowl. Game. Yeah, the first Manning Bowl. That was at Giants Stadium. So that was fun. Let's see here if there was any other notable scores before we get to Monday night. Jets started off the year 23-16 victory over Tennessee. St. Louis beat the Broncos 18-10, and the Ravens beat the Buccaneers 27-0. Let's move to Monday night. The first round of Monday night games on ESPN.
Yes, we have two of them. They used to do the doubleheader in the first week. Now it's the second week. Next year it's going to be the first 4 weeks or whatever.
Is it really?
Yeah, they have three next year.
They're going to So they're going to do the first 4 weeks all doubleheaders next year?
The first three or first four, yeah. I don't remember what it was, but yeah.
I don't understand why you just don't make every week doubleheaders.
I mean, Yeah, especially because, you know, the thing is, like, I don't know what's on ABC now. I was Dancing with the Stars for a while, but that's on Disney Plus. So if you have ABC open and the NFL's willing to do it, there's no reason.
Really on Disney Plus now?
Yeah.
That's weird. If you check on Disney Plus, it was airing live. It's the weirdest shit. But at the same time, though, like, there's no excuse why Thursday night's not a doubleheader. Because you can easily have your early East Coast Central Time, Standard Time game at 7.
I guess you don't want to have a lot of people do short weeks.
Yeah, that's the only thing with that. Like, it's,
I guess.
Yeah, but first Monday night game. Well, I guess this was the second one, so we'll do the first one first. Minnesota beat Washington 19-16 in Landover. Chester Taylor. Yes. Chester Taylor got a touchdown. Clinton Portis had a touchdown. And the Vikings hit a 31-yard field goal from our Ryan Longwell with a minute left to get the victory.
This is post-Culpepper. So who's starting for each team?
Brad Johnson and Mark Brunell.
Okay. Oh, bro, God, I forgot Brad Johnson was in the Vikings. Yeah, I figured this was a Mark Brunell start, but yeah.
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 And then the late game, the Chargers defeated the Raiders 27-0.
It's the start of a good season for the Chargers.
Sort of a bad season for the Raiders.
Yes. Correct.
Lydian Thomason had a touchdown. Antonio Gates had a touchdown. Michael Turner had a touchdown. So,
first of many for LT.
Yes. And now we can get into Raw.
Yes.
September 11th, 2006 from Madison Square Garden. You'd think it would probably be a better show than it ends up being, but
no, because they probably spent like a good 45 minutes of this show doing like patriotic shit.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. We start with the 9/11 tribute, which, you know, it's, yeah.
It's 5 minutes. I get it.
Umaga's in action against Ric Flair. Lots of dick punching and kicking, and then Flair just hits him with a chair, but it doesn't faze him. And then Kane comes out for the save. Umaga hits him with the chair, but Kane sits back up. They're in a big match at Unforgiven.
Yes.
With all this dick punching, someone will just go down.
Yeah, you know. Vince and Shane are walking into Madison Square Garden, find Vince's name on the MSG Walk of Fame, which I did not know existed. And I've been to that building a handful of times. It's pretty cool looking.
I feel like I have to see it.
Yeah. The NYPD bagpipes come out and play us back from break, and the Highlanders come out and kind of celebrate with them or whatever. And then Roddy Piper comes out and they'll banter for a little bit, and Spirit Squad comes out. They do a 6-man match, and Roddy Piper and the Highlanders get the win. That's cool. Roddy Piper is going to be tag champion soon. Spoilers.
Yeah.
Nitro Molina did an interview with Todd Grisham, and Jeff Hardy was painting a picture in the background, and Nitro ruined it. Then Jeff threw paint on him, which, you know, if you're going to ruin someone's painting,
yeah,
that's what you get, man.
And we get a 6-man tag featuring the teams of Edge, Randy Orton, and Johnny Nitro against the team of Cena, Jeff Hardy, and Carlito. It's a fun 6-man tag. A lot of fun action here.
Yes.
A lot of dueling chants as well. Edge said that this is the last night of John Cena on Raw because he'll be sending him to SmackDown on Sunday. And Cena made Nitro tap out to the SDFU as Edge and Lita watched from the ramp.
Yeah, it was a good match. It probably should have been the main event, honestly. But,
yeah.
You know, we'll get to that. And they show that Anthony Michael Hall is there. So that's fun. All the stars are out tonight.
What show was he doing at this time?
They said it. It was on USA Network. I forgot.
Because he had a real big show. And I'm like, wait, that's the Anthony Michael Hall?
Dead Zone?
Yes.
I believe it was Dead Zone.
It was Dead Zone, yes. That's what they said. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the guy from Breakfast Club and all those movies. And
16 Candles, kind of forgot.
Kind of forgot he also did that show.
Yeah, I remember the Dead Zone being, because of Stephen King. Adaptation. So I remember that being pretty big on like USA Sci-Fi for a little bit. I can't believe they had him on Raw.
Super Crazy picks up another win against Chris Masters because Masters is being punished, I guess, for going to rehab. I don't really know what they're doing.
How are you getting punished because you were taking care of yourself?
I don't. It's weird because they keep talking about like, oh, he's so much smaller now, and I'm like, well, yeah, he was, you know, focusing on himself. I don't know. It was a different time, I guess. You know, it's weird. Toby Keith is also here, which surprising because you wouldn't think he'd want to go to New York City. But, you know, I guess at this time he was still down for that. Trish Stratus in action against Mickie James. Her last match on Raw, except it's not going to really be her last match on Raw.
No.
It will be for a little bit, but, you know. Lita gets on the apron and Trish uses her to do Stratisfaction on Mickey, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mickey shakes Trish's hand and hugs her and all that. And that was nice.
Yeah, it was. It was a nice thing.
Caden Murdoch and Shane and Big Show all beat up DX backstage and take Sean out of commission. And now Vince's match with Triple H is no holds barred. And it's starting right now. Basically, they just all beat up Triple H for a little bit. And then Sean comes back and he gets beat up, too. And the McMahons stand tall.
Just dumb.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking about it. Like, the last two times Triple H was in the Garden, he faced JR and Vince. Like, feels like you could do better.
It's just really, really silly.
But yeah, that was Raw. I mean, not really much of a Garden Raw, not much of a Monday Night Football opener Raw.
No.
Just kind of there.
Definitely.
ECW, also at Madison Square Garden.
Which is crazy.
Yes. Paul Heyman came out, said it meant a lot to him to have the show at the Garden. You know, he's people he wants to thank, but mostly just himself. You know, he listened to the fans 5 years ago, and that's why ECW went out of business, which is not correct, but... now he listens to himself instead, and Sabu comes out, and he gets cut off by the security guards, and he takes him out with a chair, but Heyman flees. RVD's in action against Hardcore Holly again. It's still not the very good match. Ends in DQ again. Test and Mike Knox come out and, you know, kind of attack RVD, but then Dreamer and Sandman come out, clean house, and even the odds and all that. Sure. CM Punk beats Shannon Moore. And then backstage, Kelly Kelly comes up and says that, you know, she'd like to go out to all these clubs with Punk and stuff, but she's only 19, so, you know, they can't go do anything anywhere, which very uncomfortable. I also don't think CM Punk's the type of guy that goes to a bunch of clubs, but maybe.
Mm.
You know.
I don't think so either.
Rene Dupree makes his debut, defeats Balls Mahoney. Matt Stryker does his bullshit. And then it's time for the main event, where Sabu faces the Big Show for the ECW Championship in an Extreme Rules match. Joey Styles points out the Big Show is hated, but former Mayor Rudy Giuliani would also be hated if he hung out with Paul Heyman. And also for several other reasons.
Even at this time.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, Big Show starts dominating him early, but then Sabu's able to get his hands on some weapons and starts making his comeback, but Big Show ultimately gets the win anyway, so he is still your ECW champion. And that was ECW, was not very good.
Also, worth noting from the NFL world, there was a move made on Tuesday. Actually, technically it was Monday. Deion Branch was traded from the Patriots to the Seattle Seahawks, who signed him to a $39 million contract. Boston newspapers reported the Patriots have filed a tampering charge against the Jets, accusing the Jets of discussing a trade with Branch while he was still under contract with New England. Hmm.
Wow.
Not sure I'd want to piss off the Jets, guys, but maybe that's a little foreboding for the following year. Who knows?
True.
Who's to say? Bobby Abreu tied an AL record for RBI in an inning with 6 as the Yankees beat the Devil Rays. He homered and doubled in their 9-run inning.
Damn.
Devil Rays were still very much a punching bag at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see what else, if I can see anything else that occurred this week in sports. Not too much at all whatsoever, actually, so we can move on to SmackDown.
Yes, from Worcester. Finlay's here. The Leprechaun to open the show. The Leprechaun is covered up with a sheet for some reason. Finlay took out Batista last week, and now Batista's gone. But Lashley's here, and he comes out, and he's very mad at Finlay. Teddy Long says tonight they're going to have a number one contender match between these two. The winner faces Booker at No Mercy. Gregory Helms defeats Matt Hardy because they're just going to alternate wins every week against each other. Ray is walking around backstage, and he has Dominic with him. So that's nice. He's saying hello to Dean Malenko, and he goes and gets him set up in a dressing room so he can watch Ray wrestle later.
Indeed.
Miz in action against Scotty Too Hotty. And
it's a fun match.
Pretty fun match.
It's fine.
Both very good.
With the Mizard of Oz. I don't know if you like that name.
No, it's not. It's a bad name. Brian Kendrick versus Kid Cash versus Idol Stevens. Kendrick gets a win after, you know, a lot of fast-paced action, good stuff. Unfortunately, Kid Cash, I don't know if this is the last match or second to last match, but he is going to be fired before the end of the month for smoking weed backstage, which fired for being too cool.
Yeah.
Booker tells Finlay that he can't win tonight because it caused dissension within the court, but Finlay says, you know, he's going to go out and fight like he does, what he does. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's time for Rey Mysterio against Mr. Kennedy. And at the beginning of the match, Vicky and Chavo go in to visit Dominic, and Rey's very concerned and
clearly distracted.
Affects his performance early on. Eventually, he starts coming back for his comeback, and Chavo and Vicky come out on the stage with Dominic and Kennedy and Rey for the win. So, a lot of mind games here.
Yes, a lot of mind games here. Don't necessarily mind that either.
No.
So MVP ran a paid advertisement saying that Teddy Long is the one keeping him from appearing on SmackDown. Once again, we going with this holdout storyline. I like it.
Yeah.
Vito beat Regal. I don't know who this is all for.
Yeah.
Sylvester Turkai.
I'm sorry. Are you talking about the match or the angle?
The angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vito's also facing Booker next week.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Sure.
Sylvester Turkai beat a man named Todd Smith, who others might know as Ivar.
Yeah.
So that I thought was funny.
Where are the Viking Raiders? They hurt?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, they're hurt, which is actually very unfortunate because they were getting teamed up. It was a couple weeks ago, I believe.
I know it was weird that they weren't in the match last week, so I kind of figured something.
Because it happened shortly after their funeral segment that they did for New Day. Because I think they might have worked a live event or whatever and gotten hurt.
Yeah. That's not good. I mean, the fact that they're Triple H's boys is going to help.
Yes, yeah, I agree. But they've gotten hurt a bunch of times. Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, that is true.
So then also, we get.
Please, just make them the War Raiders, Triple H. Please.
Yeah, you probably could. I mean,
yeah, you probably could.
Maybe. Oh, Eric hurt his foot.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah. There we go. So we got our number one contenders match between Bobby Lashley and Finlay. Booker and Charmel were on commentary. This was a fun match. The ref turned around as Lashley was using the shillelagh, and it was a disqualification. So it'll be Booker versus Lashley at No Mercy. Sorry, I misread that, actually. I think it was Finlay using the shillelagh. My mistake. The heels beat Lashley down. Batista came out with a pipe and cleared out the ring.
Yes. That was SmackDown.
That was SmackDown. So, talking college football from the weekend. But first, actually, there's a Major League Baseball milestone that was hit. That's that Alfonso Soriano became the fourth player in Major League history to achieve 40 home runs and 40 stolen bases in a season. He reached the milestone with a steal of second against the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, he's got to get paid, too.
What a milestone. Ain't that incredible? Seeing good guys hit historic home runs. I got $5 on Aaron Judge today, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. The only milestone home run I will acknowledge.
Yes.
By the way, I just want to say, so I, if you know me and you follow, then you know where I work. I'm really irked by the way that how mass media has treated this Aaron Judge home run chase. And obviously, I love Aaron Judge. He is a biracial angel. Wherever he ends up, he'll probably end up in Colorado, low-key. Wherever he ends up, he's got my full support and love for the rest of his career. He is matching an American League record. He's going to eclipse American League record. That's dope. That's great. Let's stop treating this like the record. Let's stop acting like it is the record. I don't care about steroids or performance-enhancing drugs or whatever. I will not stand for the erasure of a black man. That's all I have to say about that. I can't wait for Judge to send Babe Ruth to hell. I thought he did on that ninth inning home run the other night. I walked off like, oh, yeah, fuck Babe Ruth. Fuck Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth's a piece of shit. I looked over, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. So college football scores from the top 25. Ohio State beat Cincinnati 37-7. There was an upset. 11th ranked Michigan beat 2nd ranked Notre Dame 47-21. Top 10 matchup in the SEC. 3rd ranked Auburn beat 6th ranked LSU 7-3.
Can we pause real quick?
That's some vintage.
Can we just pause like really quickly? Notre Dame was ranked what?
Yeah, they were preseason number 2.
Really?
Yeah, they were preseason number 2 that year, and they started off the year by eking out a win over Georgia Tech, which I guess should have been foreboding. They only beat Georgia Tech 14-10, although that was a good Tech team that had Calvin and Roman on that team.
True.
So I remember that Notre Dame team having a lot of hype, but second in the nation hype?
Yes.
Okay. I felt like Michigan was a better team going into that year. Maybe it's because they beat Penn State and they routed Penn State.
That was the Michigan team that went to the number two against number one Ohio State.
Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Notre Dame, they lost that game. They lost to USC. And then I don't want to talk about the Sugar Bowl. So, yeah.
Anyway. Fair. Totally fair.
Back on that Michigan team. That sounds like...
that was still Chad Henne.
Yeah, it sounds like a Chad Henne and Mike Hart team.
Yep, Chad Henne, Mike Hart, Mario Manningham.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. I think Mo Massaqua was still on that team. I think Avant and Breston were gone by then, but
Steve Breston was still there.
Yeah, Breston was still there. I think Avant was gone. Yeah.
Jake Long. This is the year before Jake Long was the number one pick.
Yes. I think Lamar Woodley was on that team also. I know Sean Crable was. More about him later. So like I said, Auburn beat LSU 7-3. USC beat Nebraska in Lincoln 28-10. Florida beat Tennessee 21-20. That was a close one. I'm sure tonight's game will be interesting. Texas beat Rice 52-7. Clemson upset 9th-ranked Florida State 27-20. Let's see here. Georgia beat UAB. Louisville beat 17th-ranked Miami 31-7. Vatek shut out Duke. Oregon beat Oklahoma 34-33. That was a very memorable game that involved some kickoffs, whether you believe that they started this happening in Autzen. Iowa beat Iowa State. TCU beat Texas Tech. Cal beat Portland State. Boston College beat BYU in double overtime. And Penn State beat Youngstown State 37-3. Now we move to the NFL.
Yes. Starting with the Chicago Bears, moved 2-0 in the year, 34-7 win in the home opener against the Detroit Lions. Four touchdowns from Rex Grossman, which that's how you know you screwed up somewhere along the way. That's
how you know that your team sucks. Rex Grossman put up four touchdowns on them.
Two to John Gilmore, one to Bernard Berry, and one to Desmond Clark.
Good Lord.
Detroit's touchdown came from a John Kitna QB sneak. So the Bears are 2-0. I believe next week is the Monday night. Oh, no, 2 weeks, the Monday night football game. Or no, when is that? That's later in the year.
Yeah, that's much later in the year. I think that's in October.
Oh, yeah, that isn't. Okay. Nope, now I remember. That's right.
Next week, y'all are playing Minnesota at the Metrodome.
Yes.
So other things that happened in the NFL that week. Dallas beat Washington 27-10. However, T.O. is lost for 3 to 5 weeks because he broke his hand. Not good news for the Cowboys. Also, the Giants erased a 17-point deficit, which was aided by a personal foul, and beat the Eagles in overtime off a Plaxico Burress 31-yard touchdown pass from Eli Manning. So the Giants beat the Eagles 30-24.
Falcons started 2-0 and missed the playoffs, huh?
And they finished 8-8.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, the Falcons did start 2-0. They beat the Bucs 14-3. For the third time in history, a quarterback and a running back each got 100 yards rushing, with Michael Vick and Warwick Dunn eclipsing those marks. The Eagles turned the trick twice in 1990 and 2002. I would have to presume that one of them was Randall Cunningham, and the other was obviously Donovan McNabb. I don't know about the running back for 1990, but 2002 is probably Deuce Staley.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'd have to imagine. And other notable scores, the Seahawks beat the Cardinals 21-10. The 49ers beat the Rams 20-13. The Broncos beat the Chiefs 9-6 in overtime.
Yeah, it's gross.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the Chargers also beat the Titans 40-7. I believe that was the most points scored this week. Nope, Colts scored 43 against the Texans. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots beat the Jets 24-17. Notes that Mangini lost to his teacher, Bill Belichick. But once again, that relationship will continue to get icy.
Yes. Then we move up to Toronto for Unforgiven 2006, a show that I had never seen anything other than the two, big famous matches. And it's a very fun show overall.
I'm surprised. Well, surely you've seen the RKO.
I don't think I had, because, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, the dark match was super crazy and Shelton Benjamin, which was also probably a whole lot of fun. But we open with Jeff Hardy against Johnny Nitro for the Intercontinental Championship. Crowd really wants Jeff to win. Really not like as many high spots I thought they were going to do, but you know, still pretty good match.
And yeah. Then
Melina hits Jeff with her boot while the ref's distracted. Nitro gets the win, which I don't know. I'm probably going to just have Jeff win, but we'll see.
He'll eventually get there.
Yeah. Teddy Long's back in the skybox because, you know, he might get John Cena tonight, so he wants to be on hand.
Indeed.
Matt Hardy consoles Jeff backstage. Lita shows up and asks what they've been up to and said they haven't been winning titles like she has. They'd both be champions if they weren't such letdowns. Since they're here, though, they can watch Lita beat Trish and then watch Edge beat John Cena. Umaga and Kane go to a double countout. Not very good.
No.
I mean,
not very good.
Spirit Squad retain the titles against the Highlanders.
I don't know why you couldn't just change also the titles. Not very
good. We're very close to Spirit Squad's reign ending in the most hilarious fashion. But
yes, you know, of course.
And then it's time for Hell in a Cell, DX and the McMahons, or DX versus the McMahons and Big Show. And as I was watching this, I'm like, this is one of the best performances of Big Show's career. He was incredible in this match. You know, Vince and Shane did their thing. Like, honestly, it's probably the second best Vince match of this era. Like, I think the Hogan match is still number one in terms of just spectacles. And this is probably number two. Like, the Shawn match is fine. Mm-hmm. But
when Vince is able to sell out, you know, and get some color, go out, take the bumps and shit like that, he really is entertaining. You know, the Hogan match was very violent. This was also a very violent match. You mentioned the the Michaels match. You know, his best ones, I don't know, for the character perspective, the best ones were the Austin ones, of course.
Yeah.
But you know, from an in-ring perspective, I'm just going to be entertained in-ring. He was superbly entertaining in this match and in several others. And, you know, having Shane in there as well, and then the Kiss My Ass Club, and, it, you know, the perfect opponents to do it with in DX at the return. Yeah. And then you mentioned Big Show, and this being one of Big Show's, you know, best performances. And I would agree with that. You know, And you look at it at first, and it's like he's an oddball in this. He's an odd man out, but he truly is, I would say, the linchpin for making this match as good as it is. You take Show out of it, I don't think this match is quality as it was.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, obviously the finish everyone remembers, and it kind of, it's fun, but it's a good match overall. I think, you know, in terms of Hell in a Cell matches, it's probably not in the top, you know, five, or, you know, all five guys really work hard. And it was a fun match. I'm ready for the DX and McMahon stuff to be done with. And I don't know if it is for sure, but, you know, yeah.
Yes. So we moved to Trish Stratus versus Lita for the Women's Championship. This was, you know, a fun little spectacle for everybody here. One of the two hometown matches, hometown hero matches, I should say. And if you're going to have one hero win, it might as well be Trish as the women's champion.
Yeah, which was kind of confusing, I guess, but also, like, it's a nice moment for her.
It is.
She didn't get to pick up the win at WrestleMania.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Exactly. Then Trish got a big ovation afterwards and looked emotional as she headed out.
Yeah.
So, Trish's career obviously is sunset. I mean, even now, you know, you look back and I think that her legacy as one of the greatest of all time still stands tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think that even with, you know, the standards and the ladders moving up or whatever in the past, however many years that we've, you know, seen upward trajectory, she still looks and feels as big of a star now as she did then.
Yeah. You know, the standard is the standard, as Mike Tomlin would say. And, you know, Trish, 16 years later, is still the standard. You know, we can sit here and debate whether Charlotte has eclipsed her, but the fact that we sit here 16 years later and then she's the one you have to eclipse just speaks to her staying power and what she was able to accomplish, you know, during a very short run in WWE. You know, in ring, it didn't last 5 years. I don't think. So, you know, kudos for Trish on an amazing 5 year, you know, record setting run that, you know, some girls got to do a decade and put in a decade's work to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's weird, I guess, that she's retiring because she's only 31, but there wasn't much left for her to do at the time either. So, nope. Yeah. Yeah. I
make her reasoning like, yo, she's 31. She want to go start a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think I pointed mm-hmm. that out. Like, there's going to be a lot of folks who, you know, want to start a family and who don't want to do this all the time. You make your money, you do your thing, and you get out. Or, you know, in Becky's case, you make your money, you raise your goddamn child, and then you come back and be a boss. So,
yeah. So let me move on to Randy Orton against Carlito. Really fun match. You know, they kind of, Randy really lays it in there a little bit, and I think it adds to it. And you can kind of tell, like, the difference between these two and I think just like other random people, you can tell that they have been around wrestling for a long time because they did little things, you know, and Carlito always did that well. Randy obviously is one of the best at it. And yeah, it was great. I wish they got a little more time, but the ending where Carlito goes for, well, I don't even know, like some sort of springboard.
Yeah, just a springboard, like moonsault.
Yeah, like, that's really the first like big RKO out of nowhere sort of thing. And
it is, yeah.
Yeah, I had never seen it, I don't think. It's very cool. It was a very good spot. Really awesome ending to the match. And they both really did a good job with it. You don't even really see it talked about. You see the Evan Bourne talked about. You see the Seth one from the Mania opener talked about. Mm-hmm. But like, those are really the only RKOs people talk about. And this one should be up there too. It was very good. I like this match. And, you know, I think they're going to be heating Randy back up, and it's time. You know, we've seen he's kind of been in a weird place the past couple of years, mostly his own fault, but, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Randy kind of get back on the back on the up and up here. The championship. Yeah, I was watching it, and it might just be a recency thing, but this might be all
very, as far as one-on-one, that's a very commonly held,
I think,
held point.
Because even, listen, the first ones are good, but it's all just moves. This is moves, but also there's a story with it. And I don't know that the first couple had that story. And that's really what sets it apart. Like, you know, there's also plenty of crazy violence in this one, too. Crazy, you know, high spots, you know.
The ending in general.
The ending, yeah, but Cena going from the top of the ladder through the table on the outside, and then Edge does it as well, and then, you know, the two tables. Just really good stuff all throughout, and this is what we've really been waiting for with this feud, just kind of get it going and get it kind of, and it sucks that it's probably about over now, but you know, they ended it in a way that they should have for a feud that's taken more or less 9 months.
Nine months.
Yeah, yeah. There's a slight break around Mania, but you know, awesome match. One of the best we've watched of this year so far. And
I think it's one of the best we've watched in general. And it's also going to about to, with benefit of hindsight, obviously we have helping us, but this is the start of Cena's like all time great run.
Yeah.
Like, he's about to hit another level over the next 12 months.
That's the funny thing, too. And I guess it's hindsight, but like, you know, watching his match, watching the crowd be like, and I know they're in Toronto, but it's like, how could you hate this guy? How could you say, you know, you can't wrestle? Because they're chanting that at it.
Yeah, right? It's insane. Like,
I think the forms.
And like, of course, it's a gimmick match, but, you know, to me, it's one of the best TLC matches of all time, if not the best, because you get that level of action as you expect, but they put on a damn good wrestling match as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, to go as big as they did with the finish was very cool too. And I've never been like the highest, biggest fan of Edge, like his name ring guy, but between the Foley match and the tag match and One Night Stand and this match, like these are three kind of all-time matches that he had in 4 months, 5 months.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, just a really good year for him too. And yeah, I enjoyed the show quite a bit. I think it's very good from start to finish. And I was unaware of that going into it. So yeah, really solid show.
Yeah, it was a show. The main event was really killer. And the mid-card main event was also pretty solid too. I would assume Cena, right? Is that who we're going with?
Yep, I tend to agree there for sure. I think this show is obviously noted for the main event and the Trish match and probably the RKO from Carlito, and that's fine.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I had not seen that RKO until So I watched this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, everyone talks about it. It's very cool.
I talk about it all the time.
I guess this is the visual of it. Because, like, I never saw the Carlito kind of doing the Mark Merrill.
It's a crazy RKO.
I feel like I've seen better. But for the first time that they did that kind of RKO, it is a really okay. It was a really nice RKO. They just been more innovative with that in the last 16 years to, you know. Anyway, got college football to get to, so we're going to sign off here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I'm at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobinNeil31. Chris is at Chris Novak. At BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarbersChairDigital. My cat is learning how to jump on my back while I'm on this chair. So I am going to beat her ass and get off of this podcast. For Rob, Chris, and Eve, I am Pierce. Thank you guys for joining us on another episode of Ruthless Aggression. We'll see you guys later.